Amidst all the excitement and nostalgia of Christmas, I've learned that there are some things that have the potential to ruin an otherwise perfect Christmas morning. And I'm not talking about your wife uttering the words, "My contractions have started, we need to go to hospital." But one of those things, one of the sets of words that can ruin your Christmas are "batteries not included," coupled with the realisation that I have not bought batteries. It's deeply frustrating to have something new and not be able to use it, isn't it? The second thing that is almost as annoying and can ruin an otherwise perfect Christmas day is when someone gives your child a toy with a loud, obnoxious, recurring sound or jingle. Inevitably, these gifts come with pre-purchased batteries that have an extended life that have already been installed prior to Christmas. This way, everyone has the opportunity to enjoy the toy long after Christmas is over. But it can also sometimes feel deeply frustrating to build up to Christmas Day, having followed an Advent devotional, having been to all the Advent Christmas services, having celebrated God's gift to the world in Jesus, and then wonder what to do with that gift of Jesus. We can sometimes be left only with the annoying jingles of Christmas in our ears, feeling stuffed with turkey and sweets, and feeling as though even now we are placing the baby Jesus back on the shelf, unused, to wait for next Christmas to come around. Through Advent and across the past few days of Christmas, we each will have made our own symbolic journeys and pilgrimages to Bethlehem. Each of us symbolically kneeling before the infant Jesus at his manger and worshipping him as the visitors did on that first Christmas. There we marvelled at Mary's obedience, Joseph's courage, and the depth of our Father's love that he would descend to earth in the form of a son as a helpless babe as he lay there in the manger. And in the midst of this sublime experience, I am certain that we've rejoiced by singing many carols that have reached heaven. But now, as we leave Bethlehem and make our way back to our various homes, our various expressions of reality that we live in today, juxtaposed with the reality of Bethlehem all those years ago, the question poses itself. What now? What does all this mean in 2018 and going into 2019? What does it mean for the world? What does it mean for ourselves? What does it mean for the church on the high street here in Rickmansworth moving forward? And whilst we remain in the joy of Christmas right now, as a church, we always look forward to what is to come with hope. And our gospel reading today encourages us to bathe in the glow of the season of Christmas, but also to look towards the season of Epiphany and beyond that. And it represents for us the first opportunity, really, since our Christmas celebrations, to respond to Christ. And today, we hear two responses to the news of Jesus' birth. The first is that of the Magi, and the second is that of Herod. As we sit here today, do we choose to set out today like the Magi, on a trajectory that is towards Jesus? Do we seek, as the Magi did, to set out, risking the loss of comfort and what is familiar, to commune with Jesus? Do we walk from what is known into what is unknown for an opportunity to gaze upon his godly beauty? Do we seek God out even when it interrupts our daily lives, kneeling before him and worshipping him? Or do we respond the way that Herod did, figuratively speaking, of course? Do we cling on to that which we have in the world? Power, comfort, security, lashing out defensively at all that threatens that reality, even if that means lashing out at Jesus himself. What we hear in the gospel today is indeed a stark contrast. It is perhaps unlikely that you will receive the divine interruption that will cause you to leave everything, mount the nearest camel, and ride off across the desert for days, weeks, or months. It is also unlikely that you will lash out in violence at the news of a divine interruption. However, it is possible that you will balk at the idea of making sacrifices to be in service of the Lord. And I think that's normal human nature. When the prospect of serving as a Bible teacher in Rwanda came up for me, I am not too proud to tell you that some of the things that ran through my mind were not particularly holy or servant-hearted. Rather, they included things like, but what about my parents and brother and my friends? What about my daughters and their schooling and care? What about the church in Rickmansworth I minister with and am happy at? What about my accreditation as a Baptist minister? What about my studies? What about my football team, the Sky Blues? When will I get to see them? What about the food I like, the drink I like? I'm the kind of uncultured person who goes abroad and seeks out an English restaurant, so this was high on my list of concerns. All of these subtle things became, though, as barriers to what God may have been calling us towards, even if it was just in a short-term time. There is fear of losing what we have can ultimately lead us to reject that which we really need. Fear of losing what we have can ultimately lead us to reject that which we really need. Likewise, we might never ever consider persecuting Christ in any way as Herod and others in history have done, but we can at times be tempted to turn away from him, to choose a trajectory of our own choosing that does not take into consideration God. If we look upon Jesus, we look upon goodness and light. And goodness and light will be all around us, and we will walk in goodness and light. But if we turn away from Jesus, we look instead into a shadow land of darkness and deception, where it's hard to live by the light, and where we run the risk of being deceived and end up doing things and living in a way that is detestable to God. And turning away from Jesus can be subtle. Perhaps we stop reading regularly everything. Perhaps if we stop reading scripture regularly, we might still think to ourselves, everything is still okay. Then perhaps when we stop attending prayer meetings, we still think things are okay. Then we start missing church services. Then our personal prayer life becomes less attentive to the Lord. And little by little, we can turn away from the light of Jesus. And before we know it, the path we're walking is no path at all. In the darkness, we run the risk of going away from the path that leads to Jesus. And then stumbling and falling because we can't see where we're going. I love the comparison of Adam and Jesus in their collective gardens to guide us on this issue. Scripture tells us that Adam looked. He looked towards the world and not God, and the consequence is that he fell. And what Jesus did was totally different. Troubled as he was, tempted as he was to run away from arrest, to run away from the cross, to run away from the Father's will, Scripture tells us that Jesus watched in the Garden of Gethsemane. He watched and he prayed and he was reconciled to the Father. The will of the Father remained as the same as the will of the Son. And this tells us that there is a big difference between the two actions and the two results in those two gardens where Adam and Jesus knelt or stood. To look is to turn your gaze from God. To look for other answers. To look, as Adam did, is to run the risk of being captivated and enticed by something, you know, like a child in a sweet shop. Whereas to watch, as Jesus did in Gethsemane, is to have your gaze firmly fixed on God. To watch is to be on guard against temptation and to remain focused on what is important. Imagine a kind of Roger Federer and the Wimbledon title, how he is over those couple of weeks. Now, I don't want you to hear me as telling you that you'd better not step out of line, otherwise there are consequences, although that is true, of course. But I want to encourage you more so to focus on walking in a trajectory that is towards Jesus because of the goodness that it brings. You know, there are studies made that say there is a direct correlation between the hours that we spend doing something and how much that becomes a habit and how much of an expert we can become in the time that's spent. It's thought that the magic number of hours to become an expert in something is around 10,000 hours, and research has been done to suggest that this is probably about the amount of time that the 12 spent with Jesus. Jesus taught them all they needed to know during that time. They became experts in how to follow God. I wonder how long it would take us in our lives if we dedicated a bit of time per day to accumulate those 10,000 hours. But what is important is that we value spending time with Jesus, because there is a direct correlation between the time that we spend and our closeness to him and his will. So what is the value of our meeting with Christ regularly in one way or another? Well, it is this: he can transform you if you spend time with him. A foundational principle of how Christ views spiritual formation is that he must be allowed to lead us into his way to become as his reflection. And this is a wonderful and an eternal invitation and rich blessing on our lives. We learn to respond to him by offering all ourselves to him first. The truth is that Jesus desires to work in us in order to work through us. Jesus is still in the business of redemption as well as transformation. And that is true in our lives as it was with the apostles. Jesus is still in the business of making disciples and transforming lives. The so what of Christmas is that, like the shepherds, the magi, and like the people written about in the gospel, and like everyone in the world today, we are invited to gaze on Jesus, and more than that, we are invited to accept him by reflecting his image in our lives. Jesus is still walking along the shores of our lives, and he is inviting us to stop what we are doing and to accept his invitation to follow where he leads. Jesus desires for us to place our faith and trust in him and his plan for our life. He desires that we trust him and his timing. He invites us to follow his path. I don't know your spiritual story or what struggles you faced in life, but he does. I don't know the setbacks that you faced or expectations that have not been met, but he does. I don't know the people who have hurt or rejected you. I don't know the pain others may have caused that led you to doubt the goodness of God towards your life, but he does. He is not unaware of your hurts, your fears, or your dreams, but he invites you to learn and to hear his voice. Accept his invitation today. Don't put him away with the rest of Christmas. Follow his path to a life of transformation and healing. Friends, let's do as the Magi did and make sure that our trajectory is firmly set towards Jesus. Amen.